Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, if you're involved in education, then, and that means if you've had a child at school or if you're a teacher, any time in the last couple of decades, you'll be very familiar with the argument that says, look, education was largely set up in the 20th century along 19th or even 18th century models, factory schools where kids at a certain time of the day, the whistle blew, they came out of the factory, they learned literacy, then they went back to the factory to work. The teaching was didactic. It was teacher at the front of the classroom telling the kids what to do, what to learn by rote. That sort of model, you'll still find some of that thinking, perhaps, in the way we construct education, even in the way our buildings are constructed. Fortunately, in the last couple of decades, there's been a lot of great new thinking around how pedagogy works better when we construct things differently, when we construct the curriculum differently, when we teach in different methodologies, even when we build school buildings differently. Some very creative solutions to new types of buildings that enable new types of learning around Australia and borrowing from around the world as well. And a lot of this thinking has said, look, in the 21st century, artificial learning, machines that can do things and make decisions for us, that'll be the norm, in which case, how are we going to survive if you want a job that endures in the 21st century? What are the skills that you need to come out of the school system with to be able to be a progressive worker on through the 21st century? And a lot of effort has been focused on the generic creative skills. Well, it turns out that some of that thinking might have been a little bit misplaced. And that's quite an intriguing prospect. Coming out of new research from the Sydney University, commissioned by the New South Wales Department of Education, produced by the University of Sydney's New Sydney Policy Lab. Now, Professor John Buchanan from the University of Sydney's Business School led the team who produced this report. John Buchanan, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for having me.
Have we been getting it wrong for the first part of the 21st century with 20th century thinking about what the skills were that we needed to teach?
Yes, it's interesting. It is commonly argued by many employers and many tech companies that we need 21st century skills and we need to break with the way in which education's been organised in what they call the industrial age. Our research shows that that reasoning is basically dead wrong, that we are not opposed to this idea of people having problem solving and collaboration and creativity skills and capabilities, but the way in which groups like the World Economic Forum talk about this, they get it completely wrong. For us, and yeah, where education's got it right historically, is that they've said people have got to have expertise in particular areas. It's by, say, studying history or studying nursing or becoming competent in as a tradesperson in electrical trade work. You learn how to solve particular problems with particular expertise, and from that you then get those more general capabilities.
Okay, so let's go back on that, because you just raised a whole world of debates and arguments for people interested in education. Firstly, you're not saying that we were right in the way that we mimicked factory schools of the 19th and 18th centuries in this 1 to 30 students sit in rows. So that definitely is out, right?
Well, there is a role for classroom learning, but yeah, it shouldn't be the predominant form of learning. So we, in our report, note that there's a critical role for greater engagement with employers and government and the community sector to give people the capacity to round out their skills on the job. But equally, people do ultimately at some stage have to sit down and learn some stuff. I mean, it's just the extent to which they have to do that in the standard classroom.
All right. Well, the discussion has centred for some decades now around how that works within the classroom and what kinds of things we were teaching. So you're talking about both teaching method and also curriculum. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about the curriculum for a moment. So it seems to me that if people got the message that we have to teach creativity as a standalone idea, your report seems to be saying, no, it needs to be learned in the context of another discipline.
Absolutely. And not just an academic discipline, like the report is also very strong on thinking a bit more creatively about vocational education. So if you've got a problem, say, you're on an oil rig and a fire breaks out, you can have an extremely creative, very talented problem solver from the childcare sector who will have very little to contribute to solving that problem. Equally, if you've got, you know, 23 three-year-olds melting down in the playground in a childcare centre, most mining engineers wouldn't know where to start. So there isn't like some generic problem-solving skill you can take into any situation.
Are you really saying that, that there are no generic skills in problem-solving creativity? Surely there's a core of methodology that we then apply to our discipline.
There are, but you've got to be careful about how far you push that. So, yes, you know, when one of my passions in life is the study of history, and the first lecture I got in first year history at university is that my professor said, you study history because I'm going to give you the capacity to get through life better. It doesn't matter whether you become a high-powered politician or a policymaker, or you just have to make a decision about what fridge to buy.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you skills on how to work with imperfect information, how to sort out what's garbage information from what's good information, and then how to arrive at a reasonable decision. So, yes, you can take it to a general level, but you've got to be careful that you don't say that's the only thing, and you've got to be modest about how far you can generalise in your problem-solving capacities.
We're speaking with Professor John Buchanan from Sydney University, one of the authors of this report commissioned by the New South Wales Department of Education, Preparing for the Best and Worst of Times. Well, we have had a model for now many decades that sort of split, bifurcated kids and said, you're in the academic stream, you're in the non-academic stream, we'll send you to industrial training, to TAFE, to vocational. It sounds to me like your report is saying that was an error, that we need to now put those streams somehow back together.
Well, not necessarily back together. We've got to rethink what the standard academic stream is like. We've got to rethink what the vocational stream is like.
Yeah.
The standard academic stream is mainly geared to get people into university. A lot of people don't go to university, and I'm a great believer in ideas and good general education. John Maynard Keynes made the very simple but profound point, there is nothing more practical than a good theory, but you've got to learn how to use abstraction in a practical way. And schools are currently pretty good at teaching people abstraction, but they're not so good at teaching them how to apply it. On the other hand, a whole lot of vocational education and training for schools has been put in place to keep students who stay on at school and aren't very good at academic work occupied. But that Vet in Schools program is often not properly thought through.
No.
We think there's a need to think more coherently about what the underpinning knowledge is for somebody who's doing care work or nursing work or who's doing construction work. So the academic side needs to be more practically applied and the vocational side needs better underpinning knowledge.
Well, you're making me think about whether we've got get back to this old question of whether we've got wasted years in education. There's something that occurs between years 5 and year 8, or maybe it's year 7 and year 10.
Yeah.
Are we wasting time at the moment?
I think there is a real need to think very hard about that myself. I love academic work, but one of the most interesting insights one of my colleagues ever picked up from fieldwork is he came back from interviewing a group of teachers and he said, one of them pointed out, what do we do with the bottom 80%?
The bottom 80%.
Yeah, so the education system's basically geared up about sending people to university who are very good at academic life.
We've
got to think, and I think we've got to be very thoughtful about education is important, and education is about more than university. And I think we've really got to enliven the curriculum, not to dumb it down. And we spend quite a bit of our report talking about how you can have an enriched vocational education, which actually respects all domains of life, not just the academic.
Some kids thrive in that environment, and maybe it is the 20%, as you've just inferred. But increasingly, I look at my hair, I shake my head in just dismay at the number of kids who don't suit that style of learning and whose lives are turned upside down and really made really miserable by what it seems to me is a system for the final 2 years of schooling largely engineered at a university entrance score which becomes a thing that hangs over their heads and causes very real distress. I mean, I'm really quite animated about it. Is the UAITER, the University ATAR, whatever it's called, whatever, is that corrupting a generation of learners.
It's not just Australia. That's pervasive in many education systems, particularly in the English-speaking world.
Well, that's comforting.
No. And I suppose what we're part of a broader research movement around the world that's saying we need to rethink the curriculum,
yes.
Not in a way of dumbing it down, but also we've got to draw employers in, not so employers run the curriculum.
No.
There is a role for employers taking responsibility. You know, it's not a matter of employers coming along and telling educators what to do. We think employers themselves have got to think harder about how they can help educators give people the deeper skills in life. And they're the big people missing in action. It's very simple to attack schools and criticise schools. They're doing their best to change things, but they really can't do it on their own.
Don't get me wrong. Don't hear me as criticising schools. I'm criticising a system that's largely been geared around a Year 12 result, which the universities have for years had. You know, they've had it easy. Let school weed out all of the people who don't want to come to university and give them a bad ATAR, scar them for life, by the way, or set them back 5 years when they could have been doing productive learning. I mean, if I sound a little jaded on this question, it's only because I've been having this argument for a long time. John, what should we be doing? What would be a better? What would school look like if it was different from that?
Our report argues for two things. First of all, we've got to think about what are the areas of expertise that people learn at school. So, for example, in vocational education at the moment, people learn very specific things. So, like, learn, say, aged care work, or they learn how to be a sales worker in a fast food outlet. We're saying, no, let's learn about care in the broad. Care affects, you know, youth work, drug and alcohol work, aged care work, disability support work. Let's look at the underlying domain of care. Instead of just training people to work at a fast food outlet, let's talk about customer service. So that's the first thing. Let's think about the areas of expertise differently. And secondly, let's think about how employers can share in responsibility, not lecture everyone else, how they themselves can actually create learning experiences in workplaces. And if we get those big changes, we'll have transformed education.
Wow. Now, the irony of this is that having had a very strong influence for many years, the universities themselves have started to say, oh, we're not actually interested in your UAI score anymore, your ATAR. We'd rather take people in. So we've got a disconnect. Have we ever been this disconnected between tertiary and secondary education?
No. There's been a long, long tradition of universities defining the education curriculum. That really goes back, like even the formation of Sydney Uni, a big part of it back in the 19th century was to create teachers. So, you know, there's the relationship between the academic and general education is deep-seated. But equally, I would say within the school system, there's a big openness now to these questions. Remember, this report was commissioned by the New South Wales Department of Education.
Yes.
They are really interested in thinking this stuff through. Like I say, the people missing in action are employers who are actually prepared to think about how they can take responsibility. Employers are quick to criticise. They're very slow to take responsibility in this space.
The employer involvement in the vocational sector, largely through TAFEs around Australia and, various bodies that bring employers together, they've not been, I don't judge them as having been that successful other than to produce trade qualifications and certifications. They're not doing what you're thinking, are they?
No, absolutely not. And I think, but that's the challenge. You know, life's hard as an employer. You know, we're in a globalised world, competition's going up. And that's where I think we've got to think about public policy helping them. But that means the employers themselves have got to make the first step and say, we want to share in responsibility. And that's not the mindset that's coming out of employers at the moment.
I reckon employers would turn around and say to you, we were never allowed a seat at the table.
I don't agree with that. I do not agree. They dominate key parts of the vocational education system, and they're quite happy to lecture educators. You know, they commissioned the World Economic Forum commissioned Boston Consulting Group to produce one long lecture against the education system. And our report's a response to that kind of attitude.
Very interesting. Well, thank you for doing the report. You were well received by the Director General in New South Wales, Mark Scott. He's a forward thinker.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if people want to see the report, it's called Preparing for the Best and the Worst of Times, and it's on the Department of Education website.
How very Dickensian of you.
That's right, absolutely.
You're not aiming for the worst of times, though, are you, John?
No, it's preparing for either. It doesn't matter what comes to pass, we've got to prepare for both.
I think you're right. John Buchanan, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what do you think about that? How do you like them apples, you might say? Professor John Buchanan from the University of Sydney and their new research centre they've set up there, Sydney's Policy Lab. The report commissioned by the Department of Education in New South Wales, you'll find it on their website. And in fact, if you go to the front page of the New South Wales government's website, education.nsw.gov.au, the report's on the front page, but it's below the fold. You know, in media circles, you talk about things that you have to scroll up to see as being below the fold. It's like when you used to fold over newspapers. You'll click through and you'll see the full report. It's less important than a story about, what was it, Annie? Something about caterpillars or chicken wrangling. Yeah, well, great. Awesome. But in all seriousness, what do you think about that? That's a very interesting new way of thinking. And I was both encouraged and also a little bit, I'd have to say, underlyingly concerned with discussions I used to have with the Board of Studies in New South Wales, which is responsible for the higher school certificate in that state, at what I thought was a lack of real understanding about the amount of pressure that kids are under for the HSC. There's been, around Australia, a reluctance to reform policy around the final 2 years of schooling. If what John Buchanan's report has found is that we must rethink that, otherwise we're going to be just failing even more kids in those last 2 years and sending them on false trails that don't necessarily lead to university. Have we just been driven by universities? It's a question teachers have been asking for a long, long time.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.